Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode is all about home bases and keep, the home sweet home of adventuring parties, superheroes, and occasionally supervillains. Kyle, what is your favorite home base and or keep from speculative fiction before I go into my extensive list?
That was a very long run-on sentence, and it's going to be a long list. Let's maybe not do all of that list, but let's do some of that
list. Oh, we're going to do all of the list.
Oh, we do all the list?
Yeah, you're not stopping this train.
Okay. I feel like it's probably
I feel like your train is going to be, your home base is going to be a train, isn't it?
No, I've done enough trains. My home base is not a train. Oh, but I don't really have one that comes to mind specifically because I read your list and all the ones that came to my mind are on your list. So I'm just going to let you do your list.
Dope.
Buckle in. Buckle up.
Buckle up.
You can buckle
either works.
You know, strap in.
Strap in, buckle up. Yeah, because strap up has a very different meaning than buckle in.
Or strap on. Very
strap
different.
Out. Strap up.
Strap out?
Strap out.
Strap out.
We begin with the Batcave, move on to the Fortress of Solitude, Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, Scanlan and Caleb's Towers from Critical Role, the Command Center from Power Rangers, Castle Grayskull, kind of. The Axelon, the crash ship that the Autobots came in the Transformers cartoon. The Castle of Lions from Voltron. Avengers Tower, the Baxter Building. There are some very cool ones from other comic books, like the Sanctum Sanctorum, which was Doctor Strange's home base.
It's an MCU.
Also be the best named home base.
It's a very good name.
Vibes.
And very cool in the MCU. That's all I've seen it in.
Dr. Fate's Tower from DC Comics is like this weird kind of crazy interdimensional thing, which is a lot of fun. Gotta give you a little nod here from Mass Effect and say the Citadel and the Flotilla, which are great options.
And the Normandy.
I'll also throw in Monica and Rachel's apartment from Friends. I think that's a fantastic home base.
So the set of a sitcom counts as a home base?
I think if you consider that group an adventuring party and the adventure that they're on and leveling up through is just life, then yeah, that's their home base. Probably you can make the same argument for Jerry's apartment in Seinfeld. The two that most recently come to mind that I was thinking about, one are from the new Voltron series on Netflix. The Blade of Marmora has a really cool home base that is in the center of a dying star, trapped perfectly at the Pareto point between two black holes, and I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. But my favorite home base of all time comes from the comic book called The Authority, which is now a DC property, started as a Wildstorm property, and it is a ship called the Carrier. It is a ship that is 35 miles tall, 50 miles long, can travel interdimensionally, and is powered by a caged baby universe. It is also technically sentient and alive. It's absolutely insane, and it's awesome.
Did you say caged baby universe?
Yep.
Okay.
You didn't read the Wikipedia link I sent you, clearly.
You sent me a lot today.
I sent you two, and this was yesterday.
You send a lot of stuff, generally speaking.
I have no counterpoint.
Yes. Okay. They caged a baby universe?
Correct.
First of all, no, we're just going to move on. I don't have time to get into that. That's unhinged and incredible. It's
spectacular.
It's a long list. And I think one thing that is obvious throughout that is that it's super comic book centric. And that's, I think, because often that is who has a home base. Yeah. Like heroes have home bases and like adventuring parties and heroes of like fantasy stories. The home base might be like a tavern. It might be an unremarkable place, or it's a very bland keep. It doesn't usually have the flavor that warrants it being a memorable piece of world building.
Well, because typically they're moving all the time. Right. That's the other thing, is they're moving all the time. Or typically if you're telling a story, like I'm reading the first Mistborn, it's fine. It gets better if you, imagine it as an anime series, then it makes more sense. But then you just start thinking about other anime that's just as good, and everyone should just go watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. It's better. But
they have a basement. They have a basement like hideout.
Yeah, it's like Clubs' shop.
Yeah,
in Mistborn. It's like that's just a shop, but that's part of the story.
Yeah, like a hideout is also like a home base. It's just wherever the group that is the center of the story meets.
Yeah,
and wherever, or but it could also be where is you could do like, where's that mercenary company based?
Right.
You know, what is their base, if it's notable? Where?
The Death Star.
The Death Star, you know, it could be...
Oh, the Jedi Temple on Yavin 4.
That's a home base. It can be the place where the crime family,
Don Corleone's house.
Yeah, his house, I was thinking of like the restaurant that they run. You know, like in Goodfellas, restaurant that they all hang out all the time, and it's kind of, you know, their joint. Like that's a home base. You can make the home base anywhere. I mean, home is where your hat is, or and home base is where your weapons are. That's
famously not the saying.
Home is where your hat is? That is a saying. So home is where your heart is also one. Correct. But home is where your hat is a very common saying.
I've literally never heard it up until right now.
Because it just means wherever you are currently is your home. Like you know, wherever you're at, you can make it your home, that type of thing. You're wearing a hat right now. This is your home. Actually, it's not. Don't. This is
your home.
I don't want you to live here.
This is your home. If you would like it to be my home, that is a very different conversation.
You could pay the rent?
No.
Oh, fuck. No. Let's go ahead and get into the noodles. Tease me. What are your noodles for today? What idea have you caught?
Inside of you. Inside of you. What about you?
What is that from?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay. I was like, that's right. I bet you won't touch this.
What won't I touch, Kyle? Tell me.
This is a temple, place of worship, holy site that is of the religion of, let's say, the country that we're in this instance. But it has been occupied and taken over by a group from outside this country who does not respect this religion, who does not respect this place, but they can use it as a home base because the people who do respect this religion will not attack this place because it is a holy site.
That's fine.
Especially because they maintain it as a holy site. They keep all the facades up.
The occupying people. Got it.
So this adventuring party who's basically taken it over is saying, well, you won't touch it. You will do us no harm as long as we're here, and we will maintain it so it remains a properly sanctified site. Because if it's in disrepair or if we cause damage, then you might be able to declare that it is no longer a holy site. But if you come here, we can kick you out. We can use violence against you because we don't give a shit about this God. We don't respect it. We don't believe it's true, but you do. So you're not going to come here and mess with us. And as long as we maintain this, we keep this barrier, this like, you are unable, like we're invulnerable within these grounds because of what it means to you, even though it doesn't mean anything to us.
Yeah. It's like if the Romans hadn't sacked the temple, then the Jewish revolt might've looked a little different.
I don't remember this exact example.
It's a story of Hanukkah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because the Romans had conquered and sacked the temple. And so then the Maccabees rose up and went and took it back. Super TLDR version of it. Went up and took it back, and they had desecrated the whole thing. And it was like motivation for the Maccabees. Yeah. Oh, we got to get this back. We have to go get it back. But it's like, if you're doing everything right, and maybe this invading power has enslaved some of the high priests, let's say.
Yeah.
So you're not just keeping the people hostage, you're keeping the place hostage and kind of the religion hostage. And that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And in this case, I don't want this to be like, the reason why they're doing this is because it is such a central,
very smart.
It's a central staging area because they've done it in like the center of this place. They are in the capital city. They are in the heart of the country. They are somewhere where having these walls is valuable, and it is symbolically a fuck you to the people that they're dealing with, which makes it work really well with a bit more evil, antagonistic, just nihilistic individuals who just say, well, why not? Could be they are specifically anti-religion, so they're trying to like taunt them and show like, look how stupid this is. Mm-hmm. We fucking took what is yours, and you're not gonna attack us because this building is important to some god. Mm-hmm. You're crazy.
But you know, it works.
Yeah, but it works. And then they get to just run all their operations out of here.
Tell me about the power that conquered this religion. I mean, you just listed they could be hyper intelligent, they could be nihilistic, they could be.
Yeah.
When you were envisioning this, what does it look like?
You know what I think it is? I think it's not a conquering power. I think it's a rebellion against a theocratic empire saying, we will take on this temple because we know symbolically what it looks like to your people to attack us in this house of worship. So you have to like lay siege to us, into your own temple, and show that you've lost control.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power move to turn it against a conquering power. So it could be that they've already been like, no, because it would have to be within the homeland. So yeah, so this is like a rebellion move.
Yeah, not, I like that.
So it's actually not antagonist. It's antagonistic in the good way. It is they're up to good trouble. And they've taken over this church or whatever. And then I assume they have tunneled out, or they have magic of some kind to leave, to go do other things. Or they just walk out and just say, I'm just a worshiper.
I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me.
I love you. Even though you're from a poor family.
From a poor family.
Yes, I understand what you were doing. But I just was trying to.
Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
From this bit, yes. You could do this where it is they actually just keep the priest.
Oh, that, I think that's necessary. I think keeping the priest hostage basically forcing them to continue carrying out their sacred duties is important.
It's got a slight Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in London vibe. You remember this? Do you remember Julian Assange was wanted by the Swedish authorities? So he was in London when this came out. So then he hid he sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy, and he was there for like 6 months to like 2 years living in the embassy because of non-extradition, and he couldn't leave the embassy grounds because he would have to go into the UK and they would extradite him to Sweden. So he would just live there forever. He was just stuck.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was very strange. And it's a weird saga that I think we all kind of didn't pay attention to, but absolutely should have been, because it's just funny. I feel bad for that embassy staff.
I feel bad for the staff. That's a good point. I think it also just got so overwhelmed by the fact that he ended up in Russia, and we were like, that feels right.
Julian Assange?
Yeah.
No, Snowden went to Russia.
Snowden went to Russia. Where the fuck is Assange then?
Yeah, I think he's in Swedish jail.
Oh, okay. Bitch.
There's a strange dynamic where people are stuck in this place for a long time, and the priest is maybe trying, is assuming, I can convert them to our religion, and they don't give a shit. They're out here just going out and,
do you think conducting rebellion
operations or whatever.
Do you think that the rebels would have sent in moles or tried to convert members of the clergy to their side beforehand? Because that sort of changes it. That's a little bit different.
The priest was already on their side and is just feigning. And the priest invited them in.
Yeah. I like that.
And the priest is just feigning that they've been held captive. Maybe.
Sure.
Somebody else in the...
It could be them. It could be their second in command. It could be their third in command. I mean, it could be anybody in there. But the point of... that changes it more from a direct occupation of this holy site to a subversion.
Yeah. And then...
Of the religion. Because then you are getting people who... Active leaders of the faith. Active clergy. To be on your side. That is different from just straight up holding everyone hostage.
Yeah, because that clergy could also be saying, I believe in the message that you're spreading, and I know that nobody will attack our house of worship, because that's sacrilegious, and I will make it be known to the army, whoever's outside, do not attack this. They are doing no harm here. Right. I don't know. But then I'm thinking...
It also legitimizes them. That's the other thing. Is then it's not like, we have to root out the invaders. It's like, well, the clergy is about as legitimate as you get.
Yeah.
So you can't just necessarily root them out.
Yeah.
In the same way.
And
It just changes the dynamic slightly.
Well, and like another dynamic to throw in here is a potential, like very much a story framing. This is a, you know, I forget the exact framing device, but everything takes place within this church, and the story just keeps, people are moving in and out, going out and doing missions and whatnot, but the camera is just staying and lingering, and it's conversations between the priests and different people who are a part of this rebellion within this church, and maybe the priest is trying to convert them in the version where they are not in on this. They are, you know, being held captive, and you get to have those conversations about what's happening, and you have the people coming in and out. Oh, you know, X person just came in completely injured, and, you know, oh, they are attacking, and you just tell the story from this one perspective as people's lives move around. That could be kind of a,
it would be a great, that is very interesting to me. I like that a lot. And
it's a theater show.
Yeah. I'm envisioning, the only thing that's sticking in my mind is, I forget what it is, the building in Arakeen in the first Dune movie that the Atreides household sets up shop in, with the stone and the sand.
Yeah,
it feels very Egyptian pyramidal to me. For some reason, that's the vibes that I'm getting.
Oh, wow. We're in completely different versions. Mine is a very like Christian-feeling church. But you could do whatever.
It's just
interesting where the vibes we both set up in our brains.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck house of worship you want.
Yeah, got it.
All right. So, Ethan, tell me about your noodles. We are coming inside you? What are we doing?
I beg your pardon?
we're inside of you?
What?
What's the line?
The line was inside of you. You escalated it considerably adding a very suggestive word to the beginning of it.
C-O-M-E.
Sure, Kyle.
We're coming over.
Sure. My idea is on a very different spectrum.
Okay.
Every wizard's got a familiar. In this world, it's not the like, oh, we're just summoning a fey creature like in D&D. It's fine. But, you know, magic mages have familiars. The home base is actually inside of a dimensional gate located inside the party mage's familiar, so that it goes with them wherever they go. So very much inspired by Harry Potter, you know, the tent that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
The TARDIS.
Also the TARDIS, or the Flerken, or whatever it's called, from the Captain Marvel movie, when she's got the cat and the cat has all the galactic space tentacles that shoot out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, that seems like kind of fun. I like the idea of a moving base. I think that's really cool, but one that you also sort of have to keep out for, sort of like a different version of a genie's lamp.
Mm-hmm.
But my idea is that, yeah, the wizard has figured out how to enchant their familiar, their homunculus, their servant, their little robot,
their little rascal.
Yeah, whatever it is, and create a dimensional portal inside of them that has their home base.
Okay.
Inside of them, and it can look like whatever they want it to look like. If they want it to be a lavish bathhouse, it could be a lavish bathhouse. If they want it to be an art deco designed library,
you can change it all the time.
You could change it all the time, however it feels that. However the mage feels that day, they could make it feel like whatever they want it to be. And I think that could be. I just think that could be kind of fun, and it would be a great, cool little mechanic to use in a game, or to even use in a story.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, it is. It's
pretty self-contained.
It's the TARDIS. It's the tent. It's the whatever. But then you get more versatility and more, and it works from a different angle.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just fun.
No notes.
Cool. I mean, if that's it, I got another one too that I
You have another idea.
Oh yeah, that I got a million ideas that I had in reserve.
Okay, so we can have this be a surprise three idea episode.
Correct.
Okay, go.
This one was actually designed with you in mind. It's an interdimensional train.
Oh.
So the train.
So when you said train earlier, and you were projecting onto me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the train is sort of constantly moving throughout dimensions, inspired by the Carrier, that big, massive Cage Baby universe ship that I was so obsessed with, because it travels throughout different dimensions and is just sort of never in one place at the same time. It's always moving throughout different realities and dimensions.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
It's got very Githyanki vibes.
Why?
Just because they're moving through the astral sea.
Okay.
Through different.
It's like the Githyanki ride red dragons, not trains, my man.
I mean, if you paint a red dragon on the side of a train, are you a Githy Yankee? In this particular train?
No.
Okay. Just asking.
But the way that it, the thing that I like about it, the limiting factor of it is that in order to access the train, you need a ticket. You need a punch card.
Okay.
And the punch cards can only be made on the train. So if you are out in the world and you lose your punch cards, let's say, you cannot reaccess the train. You have to go and find a historian, a mage, someone who can take you to different dimensions to try and find this train again to get back on there.
Wait, but you can't get on it unless you have the ticket. So if you approach the train without a ticket, they just say no, you're not allowed.
No, you can get it. But sorry, let me back that up. The only way to summon the train to you
is to have
the ticket.
Got it.
So if you find if you find the train out in another dimension, you can get back on it. But to summon it to you at your convenience, you need a ticket.
Who's on this train? This is a home base.
So this is a home base.
So whose base is this?
The adventuring parties.
How big is this train? How big is this adventuring party? Or is this a company? It's like a whole company of like a mercenary company.
I don't care. Make it how big or small as you want.
I'm going to make it a mercenary company.
Okay.
I feel like it should be bigger. Like if it's a full train, it should have like, it should
I don't
be,
know. I kind of like the idea of a 5-person party occupying an entire train.
I think from a having more tickets, more of these tickets out in the wild, I think it's more interesting to have like 40 sure. people be people who
that would make much more sense.
Who
yeah.
live or who call this a home base. And then you get to make a bigger train and you move into like the Snowpiercer. Like, you know, minus the class divide, you make like that the front part of the Snowpiercer train, and then it's like, you know, life fully exists here. And
yeah,
I think that could be really
that could
fun.
Be cool. And that also makes it easier so that if the whole party, let's say the main characters, are off the train is not defenseless.
Yes,
that's also a good point. Okay,
yeah,
cool. I like that. Good note. Good edit there. Good yeah. fix. And then you could still have the car thing, yeah. but have it be split up by. This is the mage's car. This is the
yeah
the fighter's car. This is the like every class. So it's a class system.
Why you gotta do that?
Because
why you gotta do that?
Because no, it's what no. I do. Because it's what I do.
Because you're a classist.
Because I am a classist.
Yeah, you elitist motherfucker.
I am a classist.
I think you could divide up you could make the cars whatever you want. Maybe that's the fun
that's
flavor.
That's the fun, right.
That's this the was... flavor of is what how many cars are in there? What's in these cars? Do you just make it look like a regular train? Is this the Hogwarts Express or is this Snowpiercer?
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know who built it. I don't know who maintains it. I don't know any.
Like a Yankee.
God damn it. The only thing we know for certain about this train is that it was not built by Githy Yankee.
Ah, it was the Githzerai. Got it.
Kyle, what stuck for you?
I don't think we're done.
No.
Don't you walk away from this yet. I think this is a really good idea, and I think it is an interesting flavor. It's a train, which you know how I feel about transportation, yeah. generally speaking. But I think... the idea that it is interdimensional is so interesting. And like, are they controlling where it goes or is it autopiloting? Because they don't even know, like, do they have any control over the train or are they just, where the occupants of this train?
I think they're just the occupants. I think, again, I'm totally stealing this from the carrier because the carrier is awesome. The carrier, which is that big ship that I yeah. talked about several times, they just found
Baby Cage Universe. Yeah.
Baby Cage Universe. They just found it. And I like things that you find yeah. that have a history that you don't understand.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's really fun.
I think that's any like the home base, the vehicle, the whatever that like has this rich history and it has a reputation unto itself. That is super interesting. Like imagine if someone in this company goes to a library and finds a book about this train written 1,000 years ago, tales of like the great
Arcana Rail.
What was it, like the great adventurers, the great titans of the world who live in this train, or the great horrors? This is the Wild Hunt's train. You know, yeah. You can flavor it, and you can have it have been anybody's throughout yeah. time, and it just tosses hands, and whoever has it in this moment has a lot of power, and through this train, and then when they all lose their tickets, they all lose sight of it, maybe somebody else grabs it.
Maybe the owners come back.
I think it's better.
And find it infested.
Hmm. Yeah. Also, great had to bring up the keepers from Mass Effect, because they are like the Citadel mm-hmm. of Mass Effect is a giant space station. No one knows who built mm-hmm. that space station. They assume who built it, but they're incorrect. Mm-hmm. And the keepers maintain it. They are nonverbal. They just take care of the station. They are peaceful. They do not talk to people. No one knows what their deal is. They just run the show in the background. And maybe this is a great time to have a keeper like a little rodents that kind of like run along pipes up on the top, and they mm-hmm. and they maintain things, but people don't know what their deal is, and they just kind of like, you know, keep this train of moving.
I love maybe a steampunk pandolin.
Maybe there's a conductor pandolin. Much like Withers from Baldur's yeah. Gate 3, who refuses to elaborate what his deal is, but clearly he's older than time itself and is super powerful, and you're like, what's your deal? And he's like, I'm not gonna tell you that information, and just gives cryptic answers, and then you have a fun NPC for people to interact with if it's a game, mm-hmm. and you just have a weird character. I can do whatever.
I think it's great.
Because I think how it's the logistics of where it's going and why it's going are interesting, but maybe that's a question for the author to
figure
out.
Yeah, I think the point is that you don't know. I like that better than the interdimensional cat.
I like it way better.
Yeah. I wish that I had a... But sometimes there's a man, sometimes there's a man.
I say fuck it for frozen lasagna, because you did two ideas.
So. I did, and I...
Okay, and we can do whatever we want.
And I like, and it's our podcast, and we can do whatever we want. So what stuck for you?
The second idea.
Yeah. No, the train came, pun intended, the train came out of nowhere.
And the train was fantastic. I love the idea that it has this history on its own and no one understands it.
Yeah.
That's such a good the idea that they do, that they come back, like the owners come back looking for it, the idea that it's being watched, the idea that anything with it is great.
Yeah. I love that moment that you said of, you know, they're exploring an ancient dungeon that has not seen the light of day for 10,000 years, and they find a scroll that has designs for a train.
Yeah.
And
it's this
time abyss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the time abyss that you can create with this is pretty epic.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. And I love the idea of just the simple reframing of my idea to take it from being, this is an evil antagonist occupying this space, to, oh no, this is a rebellion
yep.
within an empire that is the enemy. And so they're the good guys. I think that reframing from that question, like the questions you're asking, was mm-hmm. like, that's, thing that made that idea more interesting to me, more palatable to me.
I love setting the story only within the walls of the temple.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's just, it's very Reservoir Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just literally just like, have your own Kaiser Soze moment or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, anyway, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for, I remember one lesson.
Oh,
what? Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.